Here it is, Douglas County. Get ready for 2 hours of live and local sports talk. It's time to get off the wall with Joey Kieran.
I just was watching somebody eat probably like a tuna fish sandwich or something. I was thinking, boy, that sucks. You're going to have to wait 30 minutes before you jump back in that pool, young man. You are in for trouble.
And Josh Nelson.
Overall, yesterday was a huge upset day, mostly in the NFL. So everything that I thought I knew, obviously I don't know very well.
Talking local prep sports, the Beavers and Ducks, the Blazers, and so much more. This is Off the Wall, Douglas County's only local sports talk show. Now, squeeze in tight as we head to the Scores Sports Closet.
Good afternoon, Douglas County. Welcome back to the Adcox Heating Center Score Sports Closet. Located at Northeast Winchester and Odell Avenue in beautiful Roseburg, Oregon, it's live and local sports talk for you Mondays and Fridays from 11 till 1. I'm Joey Kieran, along with Josh Nelson. This is Douglas County's home for sports. It's The Score, 92.3 FM and 1490 AM. Excited to be hanging out with you guys here for another hour on the radio. It's an awesome day out there. I don't know. What was the weather like when you drove in? Let me turn your microphone on here real quick.
It was cold. It was still about 38 degrees. The sun was starting to peek out.
I think it's supposed to be a fairly nice week, weather.
It's supposed to be nice, but it was cool. Today as I walked in, and so I'm still wearing a sweater. I mean, it should be nicer as it goes on, but you probably are going to be able to expect that springtime type weather where you're getting some sunshine, and then you're also getting
cold temperatures.
The cold temperatures in the morning, warming up to 50s, 60s in the afternoons.
So, but it's looking nice out there right now. Excited about that, and excited that things are starting to look a little bit like spring is around the corner, which is a little bit fun. We also obviously had baseball over the weekend with the opener for the Umpqua Riverhawks. It was pretty cool to see that out at the new Champion Car Wash Field there at Stewart Park, what used to be known as Legion Field. Now some naming rights sold so that we could get the new turf in there, which looked absolutely gorgeous as the Riverhawks started their season first in 35 years. And the Riverhawks start out 3-1 on the season. Talked about that. Did you guys go out to the game? Do you plan on going to some games? I'd be curious to hear what you guys thought about this weekend's season opener for the Umpqua Riverhawks. I had a blast out there. Joshua's previous engagements that he wasn't able to go, unfortunately, but I'm sure we'll get a chance to get out there and check out the field and check out some UCC baseball here throughout their season. It was a lot of fun to go witness and see how the team did. I'm curious what you guys thought. If you got a chance to get out there, we'd love to hear from you guys on your impressions of the season opener for Umpqua Riverhawks baseball. You can get in touch with us. 541-673-5551 is the phone number here into the Score Sports Closet. 541-673-5551. You can hit us up on the 541 radio app as well. Leave us a message there, or you can also send us a note on Twitter. Just use 1490 The Score. Search for that on Twitter, and you'll find our account there, and you can tweet at us that way as well. So there was a lot going on over the weekend. UCC hoops also in action. Tough loss for the men. We'll talk about that here coming up. We were talking about some of the playoff matchups going on for our local high school teams that get started tomorrow. Can't believe it. But here in hour number two, want to get things started off with one of our usual Monday staples, looking back at the weekend and picking out our most and least from the weekend. Go ahead and do that now. It's Off the Wall, Joey and Josh, most and least time here on the show.
Every weekend has its eyes.
Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God.
Loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
10.
Touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
Michael Bennett.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
And it's Lowe's.
Here's Keenan dropping, looking, throwing near sideline, and it's caught by Stephon Diggs. He's going to take it inside the 15, 10, 5, touchdown on the final play of this game. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
The guys take a look back at the most and least impressive moments from the weekend.
All right, guys. This is going to be fun, actually. I didn't get a chance to spend a whole lot of time watching a whole lot of sports this weekend, but my most impressive moment is actually going to come from the Roseburg basketball game.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
The boys basketball game down at South Medford?
The boys basketball game at South Medford. All right, and yes, Roseburg has struggled this
year. You have caught me off guard.
Roseburg has struggled this year in basketball.
Yeah?
In conference play. It's been a tough season. Everybody knows that. They're rebuilding. They've got some size issues when it comes down to trying to get inside, and they're getting balls swatted left and right. Right, but they're fighting every single time for that. But Zach Martin, in the fourth period, however you want to say it, Zach Martin scores 18 points to bring Roseburg kind of back into that game in the fourth. They only scored 4 points in the second quarter, and it looked like it was going to get out of hand really, really bad going into halftime. And then Zach Martin, in the fourth quarter, something clicked. And it switched over there, and he was able to score 18 points. I believe he led the team in scoring. Ended up leading the team in scoring at the end of the night.
23 for him.
And that's the one thing with this Roseburg team is that they never give up. No matter what, they always fight. You look at it, they're down 20, they're down 15, and all of a sudden they're within 11. And you're like, whoa, what happened? And they don't ever quit. They don't ever fight. But Zach Martin being able to kind of take that leadership role there. He is a junior on the team, one of the taller guys on the team, and being able to say, all right, I'm not done playing yet, and be able to show, hey, we still got an opportunity, even in the fourth, it looks like the game's out of hand, and score 18 points and help try to get that comeback going around. That impressed me, just because you've seen Roseburg struggle, but you've also seen glimpses of hope and everything for next year, going into next year, that these trying times for the Roseburg boys basketball team don't necessarily represent what's going to happen even next year. I think that they have so much more potential going through. These guys have a chance going up against the varsity, learn from what happened this year. They're in every single game, they're learning something, but they continue to fight. And Zach Martin putting the team on his shoulders in that fourth quarter, that was impressive to me.
Interesting. Good one. I mean, Zach did have a great finish there. Obviously, a tough loss down at South Medford for the Roseburg boys. But, hey, it's been a trying season. But to see it here at this point in the season, especially in a game that was getting away from them, to see them continue to battle, yeah, definitely. It's great to see that they haven't lost that inner fight in them to continue to try and push forward. So good to see there. I'm going to go with some Roseburg High School athletics as well for my best of the weekend. My most impressive moment comes from the swimming pool, where the Roseburg boys swimming team was up at the Tualatin Hills Aquatic Center over the weekend competing in the 6A state championship meet. And despite only they qualified for four swimmers qualifying for the relay races, three different relays, they did have one of those four swimmers qualify in an individual event as well, but they only sent four swimmers to the state meet and yet still placed fifth as a team overall. Fifth in the state at the 6A level. They just miss out. Top four spots, where you get a trophy to bring home and put in the trophy case at the high school. They missed out on getting a trophy by 2 points, which is, it's just, oh man, so disappointing that they couldn't quite muster up a couple more points there to bring home a trophy. But it was a huge weekend for the Roseburg boys swimming team. They finish second in the 200-yard freestyle. We were talking about this on Friday during that Roseburg boys basketball game, that they finished first in the preliminary round, came back that night to the office to drop off gear and drop off some stuff here at the office, do a little bit of work once we got back into the town from Medford, found out not only did they finish first in the preliminary round, they set a school record with their time in that preliminary round. And then what do? They go back out on Saturday in the finals. They don't win the event, but they finish second And they set a new school record, breaking the record they set just the day before. So they finished second in the event, get a silver medal for the 200-yard freestyle relay, and also set a new school record in that event, which is pretty stinking special for them. And then they finished fifth in two other relays, a seventh-place finish for Logan Todd in the 50-yard freestyle race, individual race there, and the boys finish fifth overall at state with four swimmers going total to finish fifth at state. That sounds pretty stinking cool. Best finish for the program in 10 years. So congratulations to the Roseburg boys swimming team. I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah, that is definitely impressive there for them to be able to do it. Swimming doesn't get a whole lot of looks as it is, but to be able to get some sort of look when it comes down to state tournament, district tournament type of deal, that it's great for them to be able to do that. And then the school record itself, even if you don't get the win, you still got something to brag about.
Yeah.
Going forward, you guys were the fastest team out there when it came down to the school record, and somebody else has to try to break that. So now,
well, and not only
that.
Did they do it once, but they did it twice in the same weekend. Just yeah. Absolutely special.
That's crazy. My least impressive moment, it's going to be a personal one, I guess, when it comes down to it. But it's going to come down to yesterday. Went out fishing for my birthday. Took a guided trip. And Saturday was an amazing day. Saturday it was sunny. It was great. And then yesterday it was freezing cold pretty much all day long. And then it rained in spurts from time to time. And so you're just sitting out there. And the fish didn't start biting until about 11 o'clock. And then we got a couple bites real quick. Hooked two, lost them real quick. And I had my buddy Jared come out there and go fishing with me as well. And he sat there, and he's on that left seat. And we all went out for my birthday the night before, so he was pretty hungover. I was still probably feeling pretty good at the time, but he was pretty hungover at the time. And for the first, 6 hours, you got to listen to him pretty much complain about cramping up and everything else the rest of the trip. And then all of a sudden, we get into a hole of fish, and all of a sudden, he's hooking fish, and he's landing them and everything else. And then he starts bragging about it. And I was just like, really? It's my birthday. Hey, and then he's like, you want to change seats or something like that? But I was not impressed with how much fish he was catching. The first time we ever go out on a guided trip, and it seems like it always happens. I take buddies out with me on a guided trip, and they always catch more fish than I do, no matter what happens. But had to listen to him complain for 6 hours about how he was feeling. When I thought it was the best hangover cure in the world to be out there on the river. That's I enjoy being out on the river. It's relaxing and kind of like a reset is what it was for me yesterday. But he's out there complaining for 6 hours, and then he's rubbing it in my face for the next hour that he's landed six fish and I have got nothing yet. Yeah, it was frustrating. It was really, really frustrating. I finally landed one, but I hooked one, lost it, landed the other one. So I only got into two fish. He ended up into four fish. So I was kind of disappointed in that.
I'm sure there's people out there that can sympathize with you. I'm not one of them. I don't go fishing, so sure. Okay, cool. My least impressive moment from the weekend. So this one I actually almost used for my most impressive moment, but then I wanted to get the Roseburg boys in there. But also, there's a very unimpressive component to this story. Did you hear this one about the Zamboni driver? Did you hear this about the 42-year-old Zamboni driver, David Ayers, who got called up as an emergency goalie for the Carolina Hurricanes? He was their Zamboni driver. They needed an emergency goalie. He gets into a uniform, into the pads, goes between the pipes, and goes out and helps them get a win. He gets a win on his record because goalies, I think, get wins and losses against their records like a pitcher in baseball. And so he gets a win as the emergency goalie for the Hurricanes. Just an amazing – I mean, that is super impressive. He's 42 years old. He's the Zamboni driver, and he goes out and gets a win in between the pipes as the emergency goalie. I just – absolutely amazing story there. Really impressive. Pretty cool story. Come to find out, he signed an official tryout paperwork, which means he didn't get paid. He goes out there in pinch hit duty and fills in as goalie – and he didn't get paid. that he did not get paid for anything because it was a tryout. He was not a member of the team. It was a tryout.
Oh, no. So, how, if he's not a member of the team, how can he even be playing
there
as
is,
part of the team?
I don't know all the details of how it works in the NHL, but they have an amateur tryout component. This is not the first time something like this has happened. You can do an emergency call-up like that. I don't know how it all works with the NHL, but I heard that in hearing about this story that this has happened not that long ago with some other programs where they've stuck somebody in as a backup emergency goalie, and I don't know if it's just that position or not. I guess probably some more research should have been done here, but yeah, he signed a tryout paperwork and didn't get paid. He confirmed those details on the Dan Patrick Show this morning here on this station, and confirmed that he didn't get paid anything. Now, I guess I did hear some stuff on Twitter yesterday that was saying that he might be getting some royalties from some T-shirt sales that go along with his appearance out there, because obviously he's living it up as a 15 minutes of fame as a legend to stand in at the emergency goalie position as a 42-year-old Zamboni driver getting a chance to live the dream. But the question I would have, Josh, is would you be willing to live out a probably childhood fantasy of playing a professional sport if it meant you and do it without pay?
Yes.
Would you suit up for the Kansas City Chiefs to go out there as a – I don't know, long snapper or whatever. I don't know what it would be, what position you'd play, but would you suit up and be okay with not getting paid?
Oh, I would. I would definitely do that. I would go out there and sign up to and play one game not getting paid. If that was the one game I'm going to play in and I'm not playing in another game probably ever as just a childhood thing, yeah, That would be something I would definitely do just for the experience of it all. I don't care if I got knocked out. The experience of saying, hey, this game, you can find it on NFL archives. That's me right there.
There I am.
Yep.
Number 99 running out there with no name on the back of my jersey, still out there.
I'll take jersey with me and everything. I don't care.
I'll take the helmet. I'll take the jersey. Give me the cleats, socks, everything.
I'll start signing autographs.
if I was somehow in the position where the Chicago Cubs were like, Joey, we need you to pinch hit or we need you to spot duty at second base, I mean, I probably couldn't keep the pants because there'd be pee running down my leg if I got the opportunity to do that. I would do it too. Sure. Just give me some memorabilia. Take a picture of me on the field in the jersey. Send me the video of the feel of the game. Yes, I'll take all of that, and I'll do it one game. No pay? Absolutely. Sign me. Where do I sign up?
I would probably do it even to pay to do it, to be honest with you.
Fantasy
not
camp.
Getting paid, I would pay to do it. Just one game, real game, Monday Night Football. It would have to be Monday Night Football, right?
Oh, now there's stipulations.
No, I would do it, period. But, I mean, if I'm paying to do it, then it has to be Monday Night Football.
Unfortunately, I don't believe either of us are getting the call-up, Josh. But, pretty special moment there for David Ayers to go from driving the Zamboni. I wonder if he still had to drive the Zamboni, or did they call up the emergency Zamboni driver at that point?
That would be something interesting. See, he's in his goalie outfit, and they're running the Zamboni out there at halftime. I'm making sure the ice is all good to go for halftime.
It's not halftime. They've got three periods, so
intermission
now. Is what they call it.
It's hockey. I don't watch it. I'm just saying it would be funny, though. He's in his goalie gear trying to drive around the Zamboni.
I'll be right back, guys. I got to go get the ice clean.
Yep, exactly.
That's too bad that he doesn't get paid. But I think he didn't seem to, from all the comments I was seeing, it didn't seem like he was all that upset about it, and doesn't sound like we would be either.
They'll make a movie about it, so he'll get royalties off that.
I don't know if it's that good of a story. Anyways, to make a movie off of it. It's a good story.
40-year-old? Yeah, at Zamboni playing a professional sport.
But
and then you get the win? That's the
ultimate. What are we
going to
do? We're
going to
follow
win?
Him from being a young kid playing on the ice, and then he grows up, and he's driving the Zamboni, and he's sitting there, and he's just always like,
oh they'll add. You know they always add stuff to those stories that aren't factual.
One day, that'll be me
They'll make it be a championship game or
something like
that. And then
he's 42, and he's like, It'll be time has passed.
It'll be a championship game or something like that. They'll change the story around. It'll be factual in the fact that he was a Zamboni driver and that
based
he played
on
in a
true
game
events.
That won. All right, but it won't be necessarily the whole storyline. They'll make it an entertaining one, so he'll get royalties off of that.
Here we go. I looked it up. He's got a Wikipedia page already. I don't know how in depth this is. Let's click on his here. He is, it's relatively in depth for his Wikipedia page for a guy that probably just now is entering in. Let's see. Where does it tell you the last update on the page? I don't see it here. His playing career 2020 to 2020. he's a Canadian operations manager at Coca-Cola Coliseum in Toronto.
Operations
was best known
manager.
For playing in a National Hockey League game on February 22nd, 2020 for the Carolina Hurricanes as an emergency backup goaltender, beating the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-3 and becoming the second emergency goaltender to record a win in NHL history.
Second one, so they will probably not make a movie.
So
then.
this is what I'm kind of interested by here. He does. I thought he was maybe like this was a home game for Carolina, but that, they don't have. It's not their Zamboni. They're on the road, and they take the Zamboni driver from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah,
so they take the
home
team.
The home team.
The team he works in their Coliseum, and he gets to go out there and beat them. He did give up a couple of goals, but obviously not enough. Let's see here. Oh, he also did have a career in some other hockey league with the Norwood Vipers, where he played 8 games back in 2014-2015. But he played 29 minutes, gave up 2 goals, but got the win. That's something else.
Is he going to get fired for...
All right.
Against
like,
his home,
does
against
he
his team?
Is he no longer the Canadian operations manager for the Coca-Cola Coliseum?
I don't know. So now that would be really sad, right?
Do the guys for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Do they start giving him crap when he's out there cleaning the ice before they get out there for practice or something?
That would definitely be like the
start shooting pucks his direction.
Least impressive moment right there is even worse if that ends up happening.
All right. We got to get to a break, but I might have to investigate this storyline a little bit further here now that I know some more. We'll come back. It is Off the Wall. Joey and Josh with you here on this Monday edition of the program. Starting today
yesterday.
In Indianapolis, today was the first day of the combine. The 24th through the March 1st.
23rd through the 1st.
Okay, maybe they showed up and they started handing out gym shorts.
That's what the official thing was, 23rd to the 1st.
Not the official mark I sat on the story I was reading about it.
Oh,
anyways.
Lord, here we go.
The NFL Combine got started in Indianapolis today. How would Josh and I measure up on some of these things? We'll talk about it when we come back. It is Joey and Josh Off the Wall on a Monday here on The Score, 92.3 FM and 1490 AM.
Get off the wall and call the show. Whether you agree or disagree, the guys want to hear from you. 541-673-5551. Now, back to more Off the Wall.
We are back, everybody, here with Off the Wall. Joey and Josh, hey, my favorite part of the show right here. We get to talk some NFL football or football in general. This is definitely my favorite topic. I follow football, as you all know, quite regularly. Looking at the NFL Combine, it started this week. Debate on whether or not it starts today or yesterday. I mean, it continued at the
break.
Why
do we argue about the stupidest things?
I don't know, but it continued after the break.
NFL.com.
He showed me NFL.com. I showed him Google.com. When you're asking when the
did
NFL
you just
Combine.
Say Google.com?
Yep, sure
I think
did.
We all know who to trust here. He just said Google.com.
Well, that's what you would put in, right? Google.com.
If you type Google.com into your web address to go to Google,
I do,
what are you, 75 years old?
I can't get it off Yahoo.
You just go to the go to the address bar and just search whatever you're searching.
Oh, Lord. I always type out everything I do. Oh, my bad.
You type www as well?
No, I don't do www anymore.
What are you, 85 years old?
I guess so. I definitely am.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, this guy right here. Oh. Day after my birthday. I'm getting riddled still.
Well, now it's your no longer your birthday.
It's still my birthday month, though. I keep telling people this that nobody listens. No. Anyways, the combine's coming up. We got several Oregon players. I believe 7 Oregon players and 3 Oregon State players or 2. Isaiah Hodgins.
I believe it was 2.
Isaiah Hodgins, Jacob Luther. I thought there was one more.
Jacob Luther?
Or not Jacob.
Luton.
Luton, I mean. Luther. We're talking UCC baseball.
He went from UCC baseball to the NFL pretty quickly.
NFL combine there. But so many different things going on. But most of the televised stuff that you're going to see televised, it's exclusively on NFL Network. So if you don't have it on your TV, you can get it for free off the NFL mobile app. You can watch it off of there. But a lot of the televised stuff for the NFL Combine, all the 40-yard dash stuff that you like to watch and stuff, that's going to start on Thursday. It's going to be Thursday is tight end, quarterbacks, wide receivers. Friday is the place kickers, O-line, running back, and special teams. Saturday's D-line and linebackers, and Sunday is going to be the DBs. So if you want to catch any of the action from the quarterbacks, from I'd say graduating quarterbacks, Justin Herbert or Luton from Oregon State, you're going to want to watch that on Thursday. But the one thing they did this year is they put it at primetime hours. So it's 4 o'clock Eastern to 11 o'clock Eastern. So that's primetime hours for the East Coast. Not necessarily primetime for the West Coast here. 4 o'clock, that would mean that it's 1 o'clock. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, 1 o'clock here is when it's kicking off. To be able to watch, if you're going to watch. So if you're at work or something, you're just going to have to put earbuds in and kind of watch on your phone and try not to get caught. That would definitely be me if I was
working. If you worked in an office.
Working in an office or even on a labor job somewhere. I'd be trying to figure out how to watch the thing. But the chance of going out there, get to see Justin Herbert out there, see what he can do, and the other guys out there as well. So the biggest thing is Oregon State and Oregon players there pretty much in this area.
So you've got Jacob Breland, the former tight end for Oregon. He's looking to make his mark after getting injured midway through the season. Going into the season, he was a guy probably looked at as an undrafted free agent type of guy for the NFL. Then he had an amazing year going until he got injured and was out for the rest of the year. So he's looking to prove to scouts that he's healing up from his injury, or he is healed, that he can still do it out there. Try and impress guys and show that what they saw in that little bit of this season was not a fluke. Troy Dye is a guy out there. I saw his name mentioned as somebody that in the interview session, because they do interviews, they do measurements, they do drills, all these things that they do to kind of get an evaluation of these guys. Saw that he was one that maybe had some explaining to do in the interview session as a guy that needed to kind of maybe convince teams that he was worth making a pick on. I don't recall this article I saw had him listed as somebody that had gotten in trouble for, I think, possibly failed drug tests early on in his career. And I don't remember that.
Troy Dye?
Yeah.
Now that you bring it up, I think there's something there that might have been there, but I can't remember. It would have been early freshman year.
Yeah, I would imagine it would have been
like
early
that,
on in his
career. Where
he wasn't
even a starter, I would imagine.
You know, the last 2 years, he has definitely been proven as one of the leaders on the defensive side for the Oregon Ducks. So kind of questioning that going into the draft kind of is, to me, was a surprise. I didn't really think of that. But so Troy Dye is a guy, another linebacker there for the Ducks. You were right, 7 for the Ducks and 2-4. For Oregon State at the combine. Jake Hansen, offensive lineman for the Ducks. Also, Justin Herbert is there, like you mentioned.
There's 3 offensive.
There
linemen.
Are, yeah. I'm just running through them alphabetically here on the list. Isaiah Hodgins, wide receiver for the Oregon State Beavers, had a great year. Decides to leave early for the draft, and so he's going to be a guy that he's going to look to try and move up. I mean, a lot of great wide receivers always in the draft, and so he's going to try and impress some folks out there. Speaking of wide receivers, Juwan Johnson, is there for the Oregon Ducks. Granted, he was a transfer from Penn State, played just the 1 year at the University of Oregon, but he goes in. I saw, so today is measurement day. We're getting a bunch of measurements from a lot of these things, and that's where I was going to ask about standing up on these measurements. Longest arms, Juwan Johnson, 34 1/4 inches. Longest wingspan, Juwan Johnson, 81 5/8 inches. And largest hand size for wide receiver, Juwan Johnson, 10 1/2 inches.
Hey, that doesn't surprise me. I brought him up whenever I first saw him on the field this year, and I even talked about it on the show the very first time I saw him on the field. He is a beast. When you look at him in a football uniform, he is the biggest, most physical receiver I think I have ever seen at the University of Oregon. When it comes down to, you're talking about SEC-type talent, wide receiver, big guys, built strong, but they're big. Everything's big about them, every single aspect of that. So it does not surprise me at all, Juwan Johnson there, and that's going to help him in the draft. He's going to go earlier than most wide receivers do for Oregon.
Shane Lemieux, he's there as well, another offensive lineman for the Ducks, and then Jake Luton for the Beavers, the quarterback there, who's a guy that's got the NFL type of build. It'll be whether or not his health is up to par with the injuries that he had suffered there at Oregon State, and how well he throws it. I think he's a guy that a lot of times quarterbacks won't throw at the NFL scouting combine. I feel like he's one that probably should get out there, and as much as you can go out there to try and impress the scouts, I don't think he's got enough on his tape to show off to say I can go out and not throw. So I definitely think that he's a guy that should be throwing at the combine. And then rounding out another offensive lineman, Calvin Throckmorton there at the scouting combine. So 7 Ducks, 2 Beavers, and definitely that'll be fun to watch. So we pulled out, we went and asked our one of our office managers, our traffic director here, Marty, went out and asked her if she had a ruler, and we grabbed this, and Josh and I took the time to sit here and measure, because today was, we saw a lot. I don't know why they, I mean, I guess I know why. Quarterback hand size is a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be able to hang on. I mean, that's my biggest issue when it comes to trying to throw a football. It's got to be like the peewee size, because I can't throw a football, an NFL-size football. My hands are too small.
Well, and you got to be able to hold that one hand without it slipping out of your hand. Hand size is really important when you're at quarterback. We did get the opportunity to measure our hands.
I didn't cut my fingernails for this specific reason. Get a couple more centimeters in there.
I wish I would have known about this before we actually came into the show, because then I might have actually done the same thing. No, I measured out.
No, I didn't actually not cut my fingernails for that reason. I didn't cut them because I was just too lazy and short on time this morning.
Oh, well, I measured out this morning, and this ruler is kind of weird.
It's a little tricky.
It only has ten ticks in between each, or what is it, five
our
ticks?
Ruler, no, it's broken down into tenths of an inch. How many rulers are broken down into tenths? It's usually sixteenths, eighths, quarters, and then halves, you know, not tenths of an inch.
It's probably a dollar store ruler, and you're just trying to do inches. You're not actually trying to do quarters and eighths and sixteenths or anything like that. But yes, this ruler is a little bit difficult, so we're doing our best guess estimate here when we measure them out.
Justin Herbert measured in. He had some pretty good hand size.
10 inches
even. Tua Tagovailoa was also 10 inches. He's only 6 feet tall, but he's got a 10-inch hand. Now, I used to say I was 5'9". I'm like just under. I was like 5'8". And 3/8 or something. Well, 4/8, something like that. I can't remember exactly anymore. The last time I was officially measured, but I was like close to 5'9", but not quite 5'9".
Yeah, I'm 11 3/4 inches.
So you're almost 6 feet.
I'm 5'11".
You're practically.
And 3/4.
So if I'm rounding up to 5'9", you're rounding up to 6 foot.
Yeah, I definitely would. I always say I got gypped by 1/4 inch. And my brother is 6'1". I'm 5'11 3/4". So every time that the DMV or anybody asks me what my height is, I literally go down to the 1/4 inch on that.
Wow.
And measure it down, and they'll never put that on my driver's license. They're too lazy to actually put 1/4 inch, but
no, they don't care.
No, they don't.
I put 5'9". You put 6 foot?
No, I put 5'11".
5'11"? So my brother's taller than I am as well. I got my mom's jeans. He got my dad's. My dad is taller. My mom was shorter. And so here we are.
My biological dad's 6'7".
Jeez, I wish.
So, yeah, me too.
So you're practically 6 foot. I'm practically 5'9". That might explain the differences here. I measured in unofficial. Well, we're going to say officially unofficial. 8 inches, 8 3/4 inches. Ow, I've been stretching my hand on the ruler for like 3 minutes now, and now my hand is cramped. The measurements, as far as I know, they go from the tip of your pinky finger diagonally across the palm of your hand over to the tip of your thumb is what I believe they measure. Now, that's my left hand. I guess I should have measured my right hand because I would assume they measure the hand that you throw the football with, right?
Oh, I did my left hand too. I should
that's
actually
weird.
Do my dominant hand as well because I think I've heard something about a rumor of your dominant hand and your non-dominant one being bigger than the other.
Well, that might actually be true. I feel like I'm closer to 9 inches with my right hand here. I'm definitely a full 8 3/4, if not a little bit further on my right hand.
Then I've got to measure my right hand here.
This is kind of hurting, though.
That's going to be the
so,
task.
So Justin Herbert is practically at least 1 1/4 larger hands than mine, which, I mean, he is 6'6". That is to be expected. Tua Tagovailoa, though, at 10 inches and only 6 feet tall. That's pretty stinking impressive for that young man. And granted, we're all now debating and nitpicking the size of a quarterback's hands. I don't know exactly if it makes as big of a difference as we all want to make it think it does. But where do you check in here, Josh? We still measuring?
They're the same. So about 9 1/4, maybe just a hair under 9 1/4.
So we're like about a half an inch apart.
Yeah, roughly.
There you go.
And take this into consideration here. I think the largest hands in the NFL, I know they were a couple of years ago. Oh, it was a tie. And that was DeForest Buckner that tied at 11 3/4 inches.
Holy smoke.
A sheet of paper. His hands were the size of a sheet of paper lengthwise.
What? That is ridiculous.
It is. It's crazy, but that's how big his hands were. So, and at that time, he had tied with somebody else. So, that's impressive. They take all this seriously. So you come down to all these records as well with the NFL Combine coming up. But yeah, that's why these players are quarterbacks, receivers, and DBs, all that other stuff. It all goes into play
on
everything. I mean, everything, your height, your jumping, everything goes into play during this combine.
I wanted to see, you brought it up, and so I thought, maybe I can find this out. I don't know if it'll be in this Wikipedia page here, but Manute Bol, who was 7'7", you know, one of the largest player in NBA history, wanted to see what his hands, palming a basketball made it look like he was like holding a softball. Compared to what I have with my, I can't palm a basketball.
I can just barely hold on to that basketball. But every ball is different. High school ball.
That's true.
But every football is different. You have a junior. You have a high school. You have a college, and then you have a NFL football. So the NFL football for the quarterback is going to be different than what the actual college ball is. So Herbert and everybody else, Luton, going into this NFL combine and going into the NFL draft, they're going to have to get used to holding a different size football. And so it all depends on what kind of basketball it is. I don't know what I can do, or football, what I can do according to the size of the basketball, like NBA basketball. I'm not sure if I could or not because I've never really tested that. I know I can do an NFL size football just fine, and I can get it around and hold it. I don't feel like I'm going to drop the ball one-handed.
Taco Fall, he's also the new big man. I wonder if it has a wingspan 8 feet 2 2/4 inches. Holy smokes. Taco Fall, he's the new big man in the NBA at 7'7". He has a standing reach of 10 feet 2.5 inches. That means his fingertips are above
the basketball rim.
It's just crazy. All right.
Going back here.
Yes, okay,
this,
real quick.
This, we're going away from we're somehow getting into basketball.
Well, because those are the tall, big guys.
Yes, but going to the NFL Combine drill.
Yes, okay.
So the drills that you look at, you're going to be looking at the 40-yard dash, the bench press, the vertical jump, the broad jump, three-cone drill, 20-yard shuffle, 60-yard shuffle. Those are the drills you're looking at that are going to stay the same. There are a few new drills. There's like eight different type of position drills that they took out, and they took them out. They replaced them with some other drills, pretty much for entertainment aspects, keep people watching the game. Some of the drills include a smoke route for quarterbacks and wide receivers. Smoke route is a short route, a one-step hitch. That's popular in the NFL due to it being like a run-pass option type play. That's one of them. Then they also have a lineman drill where they're doing a configure eight type deal. It kind of keeping you, how fast can you do this figure eight? You got to grab something off. Then at the end, you're tackling a guy. But you don't want to step over the or over these circles and stuff. I've done it a couple times there. It's a little bit harder than it looks, actually. So there's a couple different drills that they're going to bring back. They don't list off every single one of the new drills at all, but there's different things to be watching for this year that was not there last year.
So if you're a junkie like us for the sport of football, get to know your incoming NFL draft prospects through the NFL Combine going on NFL Network. And I'm sure Sports Talk Radio right here on The Score, you'll be able to follow updates on what's going on. They'll be talking about the NFL Combine throughout the week as well. We got to get to a break when we come back. College hoops season is starting to really heat up. Postseason right around the corner. Big matchup coming up tonight. We'll talk about it as we wrap up hour number two of Off the Wall. Joey and Josh with you here on The Score, 92.3 FM at 1490 AM.
We're back with more Off the Wall. Portions of today's show can be found on demand in The Score's podcast section at 541radio.com.
Joey and Josh wrapping things up here on the Monday edition of the program. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be back on the airwaves with you for Roseburg basketball. The Indians boys, they'll be playing their final road game of the season at Grants Pass and then finish out the regular season on Friday at home against North Medford. So we are looking forward to that, but we'll have coverage of Roseburg boys basketball for you tomorrow. Also, we're looking forward. We got playoff action coming up throughout the week. We'll have settling playoff basketball Friday and Saturday on I-101 FM, so looking forward to that. As for college hoops, we've got big games coming up throughout the week as well for the Ducks and the Beavers on the radio. But as we start getting towards the tail end of the season here, Josh, tonight, a big matchup in the Pac-12. The Oregon women, ranked number 3 in the nation, are on the road in the Bay Area taking on the Stanford Cardinal, who come in at number 4. Now, we talked about this back when it happened. The Oregon women, they demolished Stanford. First time these two teams played. At home in Eugene.
It was like 30 points.
But it was a lopsided win there for the Oregon women. Tonight's a big one. It's on the road, so that is going to obviously have some sort of effect in it. But it's on the road for the Oregon women. If they win tonight, they'll clinch at least a share of the regular season Pac-12 title. They would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. I don't know if they do tiebreakers to determine the champion, or if they just do tiebreakers to determine the top seed going into the Pac-12 championship tournament. But
they do the tiebreakers for the tournament, not for the championship.
Yeah, that's what I was –
that's
kind of what
Oregon
I thought I remember.
Oregon has shared the title before with, like, Arizona.
So with three games left to go, if Stanford were to if Oregon were to beat Stanford tonight but then lose their final two and Stanford were to win their final two games, then they would end up tied and share the conference title. So, big matchup, obviously, coming up tonight.
Yeah, it's a huge matchup there, especially number 3. I don't expect Oregon to lose any of their matchups for the rest of the season going forward.
They've got the final two at home against the Washington schools after tonight. So.
Yeah, I don't expect Oregon to lose those. I think Oregon should be able to handle Stanford. Stanford is ranked, though. Oh, and you never know. You never know what's going to happen when you go down to Stanford. It's one of those places. It's like the Arizona schools that are always hard to play at. Same thing. When you go down to California, it's hard. Anytime you go on the road in the Pac-12, it doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, baseball, anything. It's crazy how things get shook up. So I don't expect Oregon to lose, but you never know. There's always that opportunity.
They've been playing pretty well right now, but we mentioned the probably a very emotional day for Sabrina Ionescu today as she was down at the Kobe Bryant Memorial earlier. We'll be playing tonight. Also saw that this was kind of interesting here. Satu Sabali, she's a junior on the team, announces that she's going to go pro after this year. She's leaving a year eligibility and going pro for the WNBA after this year. Think about this, Josh. The Ducks could legitimately have three top 10 picks in the WNBA draft next year. I know the WNBA draft is not something that many people are going to be thinking about, but with Sabrina Ionescu, Satu Sabali, and with Ruthie Hebert, could very well be three top 10 picks. I mean, I know it's not a mainstream sport that everybody knows a lot about, but if you can have three top 10 picks in any sort of professional sports draft, you're doing things right.
Yeah, Oregon's basketball program is doing a lot right. I was surprised that she announced that she was going to the WNBA so quickly in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
any type of deal. It kind of seems weird that you would do that in the middle of the season, type of situation. Not wait. Good for her. I mean, She's got an opportunity, so she's going to take that opportunity, and she'll be very high up on that draft board, mm-hmm. just like Sabrina will be. Sabrina will probably be the number one overall pick,
I would imagine. But, the Ducks played the U.S. Women's National Team at the start of the year in an exhibition and won that game, and I've heard some players from that, professional players, say that they thought that Sabali was the best pro prospect on that roster for the Oregon Ducks. But obviously Sabrina, she's got the experience, she's got the talent, she's got the name recognition. There's going to be a lot that goes along with drafting her in the WNBA as well. So pretty cool. Coming up tonight, they tip off at 6:00. That game's going to be on ESPN2, Oregon and Stanford in women's basketball tonight. And definitely worth a little bit of your time if you're looking for something sports related to watch coming up tonight there on ESPN2. Definitely worth your watch. How about, I know you were probably busy. Did you see any of the highlights from that Oregon and Arizona overtime thriller?
Okay, I was at the bar on that game at the end of that, and so I watched the last bit of that game. And so I got to watch the win there, and I got to see the foul, and I was like, why would you foul?
The foul at the end of the game?
Yeah. I did not think that was a foul at all, but then I was like, why would you even make contact with him at that point? Don't make contact. Yeah, you can't do that. But then we watched the two free throws, and there's nothing there. I mean, that guy just could not shoot. When you saw his record come up, it was like 5 of 16 over the entire year, and you're like, maybe he'll miss one of those, and you go to overtime again. But he missed both of them. Oregon ends up winning. That was a great way to end that game.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. That was the ultimate ball don't lie situation right there with that foul. Because I saw that replay. I didn't watch it live, but I saw the replay, and I thought, oh, my goodness, you got to be kidding me. How did they call that foul on Peyton Pritchard? Oh, just absolutely. But Peyton Pritchard, speaking of him, what a freaking performance by that guy. Wills the team to overtime and helps them get to the win. Big win there for the Oregon Ducks as they try to stay in contention for a Pac-12 regular season title. All right, it was a fun show here today. We'll be keeping an eye. A lot of big storylines going to be coming up throughout the week, and we will be ready to talk with you guys about them on Friday. So stay with us for Friday's edition of Off the Wall. Looking forward to it. And we'll be starting to get into the postseason, plus getting ready for the state wrestling tournament coming up this next weekend up in Portland. So a lot that we're going to be getting into and getting ready for. So stay with us, folks. It's going to be that time of year as we start heating things up with the basketball postseason. So that's going to do it for us here on this edition of Off the Wall on a Monday. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and joining us. We will hopefully have a great week for you and be back on Friday. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon.